Good afternoon. Today is Monday, Memorial Day 2014. Joining us this afternoon is the Executive Director from the Eureka Rescue Mission, Brian Hall. Good afternoon, Guy.
Good afternoon.
Obviously, we're out. Well, what would we be doing? Gallivanting? That's kind of a fancy word.
You'd be gallivanting, right?
Yes, we're gallivanting about. Hopefully, we've seen a couple of flags in the cemeteries, too, and taken a little bit of time to reflect and give some respects there, and hopefully everybody else has also. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what is the rescue mission, where did it come from, what's its purpose, and how does it interact with not only the homeless, but with the regular community also. A couple things to talk about. Hopefully surprise you a little bit when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brian Hall, the Executive Director from the Eureka Rescue Mission. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Adrian Rogers. Quote, "It's about time we stop thinking about things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like." Yeah, somehow I think there's an undercurrent on that one. We'll find out. So, Brian, where'd you come from, man?
I've been born and raised in Humboldt County ever since I can remember.
And but you weren't always affiliated with the rescue mission.
No, I wasn't. No.
So what moved you in that direction?
Really, really, really bad decisions in life. I suffer from some major drug addiction through my younger years. Ended up in lots of trouble. I was actually homeless when I came to the rescue mission, and I went through the program. I actually, while I was there, first 2 weeks when I was there, I slept in the dorm with all of the guests that came in off the street, and that's how I was introduced to the rescue mission.
Now, a lot of folks won't have that stick-to-itiveness that you had.
Uh-huh.
What, did something click?
I think just the value of life, and my relationship with God. And, I feel like he had been calling me all those years to do the right thing, to reach out and help people. But, the direction I went was not the direction that I should have gone. And it took some pretty hard times to bring me to the point of really surrendering my life and, following after helping people and reaching out to the people that were, that are in the same lifestyle that I was in, and for me to make it out and help those people come out of that lifestyle has been so rewarding.
Now, you've mentioned lifestyle a couple of times. I think mm-hmm. a lot of folks, that seems to be about the point of demarcation for robust discussion or arguments to begin. Is it lifestyle? Is it choice? Is it circumstances? The drug overlay, do people have capacity to make decisions, yes or no, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in those types of discussions, how do you react to that?
You know, like alcohol and drugs, for some people are just a way of escape, to escape the problems of life. Of course, I'm a Christian, so I do everything I can to reach people with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Some people don't want that, and that's okay. At the mission, we still serve, regardless of what people believe. But it's, gosh, how do I put it? It's a power greater than themselves, and they choose intoxicants to fulfill that emptiness that's on the inside of me. I can relate with that. I had done that for years. And
so what tends to be, I mean, not being anybody who's been in that situation, what tends to be the trail that gets there? Is it a single triggering event? Is it a gradual slippery slope? I particularly, as California is looking at legalization of marijuana, and you know, some say it does, some say it doesn't. I mm-hmm. tend to believe it does.
Okay.
Kind of start that inertia, if you will.
Into
whatever that results in people in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it goes to hard drugs or just a general laissez-faire.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it kind of results in the same neighborhood. So how do most or a majority of folks get there, or is there a triggering event?
Yeah, there, you know, could be trauma, life traumas, and people are trying to not feel, and so they try marijuana, and it numbs them a little bit, and it could be the beginning of that. I know people who do just that, and only once in a while, and it's not a big problem for them. But I can really only speak for myself, is that was the very gateway drug for me, was you know, taking sips out of my dad's beer and then smoking a little weed, and then all of a sudden I tried something else, and before you know it, I'm a full-blown meth addict, you know.
So it was kind of like dabbling on the edges?
I dabbled on the edges for quite some time. I was at an age where I could be reprimanded by my parents. I finally got to an age where they could no longer spank me. I was a big boy. And yeah, and from that point on, it was a mess.
So for you, there was no triggering event. It was just kind of a gradual thing.
I would say peer pressure did have something to do with it, to be honest with you.
Do most kind of gradual into that downward spiral, or does it tend to be an event-driven thing?
I think it could be either or. I think it starts, and you know, whatever happens in life, people dive headfirst into it. You know, it's different for all people, but I do see, and I don't want to make a blanket statement that anybody smokes marijuana is going to, you know, end up doing harder drugs. But I wouldn't personally. I would say just don't even take the chance. I mean, think about the youth out there. If they're going to legalize it, man, that just scares me. And I have grandchildren, and it scares me. You know.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
3, 2, 1. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brian Hall, the Executive Director from Eureka Rescue Mission. Brian, you've mentioned a number of times about the spirituality component that you have. Is that something that is missing? I had never thought of some of those common traits, that there is that whatever form, but that the spirituality or being spiritual is not present in a majority of these folks that you deal with. I don't know whether clients, customers, I don't know, you know, tenants, I don't know what their terminology is. But
Guests,
okay. Do most guests then not have that part of their life?
Many of the guests are actually searching and have been for quite some time, and maybe have tried several different avenues. When they come to the mission, we do have a chapel service at 6 o'clock each evening, and it is optional. If somebody doesn't want to sit in on that chapel service, they can go sit out on a soft bench that we have out front until it's over. But I've only had one or two people that have ever taken advantage of that bench over the past several months. And most all of the people that come into the mission want to hear that 30-minute message of hope.
That will they embrace it?
Many of them do. Many do.
So in that scenario, is somebody, okay, they're at the bottom or bottom out or whatever mm-hmm. the phraseology is. Okay. How do you start to see signs of something happening or a willingness now maybe to change?
Wow, that is such an awesome question. What happens most often is when somebody's done speaking and sharing that message, we have people that come up with tears in their eyes. And usually grandma, grandpa in their life were Christians, and they've just gone away from that through their whole life.
So it's not finding the trail, it's just getting back
sometimes, on the trail. Most of the time, it's getting back on the trail, yeah. Some do find it. But it usually starts with tears and a destroyed life, a broken life. They come asking for help. And I offer them our program that we have there at the Mission. It's a residential New Life Discipleship Program. And it's a year long. They stay inside. We teach them a work ethic. We give them hope. We teach the Bible 4 days a week from 8:30 in the morning until almost noon. And
so you're kind of reinfusing elements that have not been there for a while.
Yep.
So how does that differ, the religious component?
Mm-hmm.
Being Catholic, I know the Catholic way.
Okay.
So are there common things? Are there elements? Do you care if they get back in, let's say if they're Protestant or Presbyterian or Lutheran or whatever, get back into whatever their spiritual community or their religious faith is? Does it matter that they stay in your program, or can they reconnect with wherever they came, whatever faith they had initially or originally when they were little?
Yeah, we encourage that. We encourage that. But what we teach, that's the thing about the mission in the Bible. We recognize the denominations of Baptist and Pentecostal. There are various others out there, Catholic, you name it. The one common denominator that we have in the denominations is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where men find their hope in Him. I have seen transformations, unbelievable transformations in men's lives that came there the day before one guy came. He was contemplating suicide. I've had guys come in there absolutely strung out on heroin. And we sent them to detox for 3 or 4 days. They come back, they enter into the program, and they graduate. Our success rate for our graduates is beyond believable. It's over 60% of all of our graduates that have graduated the Rescue Mission program are still doing good.
So is it somebody kicking them in the butt, making an offer? I mean, why is there such a willingness, but at the same time, a lack of personal motivation to do it on their own? Not the detox stuff, but the faith components.
You know, I think that sometimes people's concept of God is a very harsh concept, and that could have been...
So the Middle Ages God.
yeah, maybe, you never know. Mom or dad were Christians, and mom and dad had a ruler in their hand and a rod of correction, and that was the God that they were raised with. Who knows, you know? But when at the Mission, we promote love, and it's the love of God. And when men experience that, and women on the women's side experience that love demonstrated by our staff and our program members, it just softens their heart. They see it.
It's amazing when actions.
It is.
Mirror the words.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Brian Hall.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Executive Director of the Eureka Rescue Mission, Brian Hall. Brian, you talked about men.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last segment you said, on the women's side.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that there is a need for separation, not for some of the more obvious reasons, but I would think if somebody tends to be an addictive personality, or somebody tends to have fall to temptation, that the isolation part, almost a monastery-like approach, is probably something that helps them kind of get their feet underneath them a little bit and sort things out, because it doesn't happen in an hour and a half. It takes a little bit of time. Is that one of the basic premises for having the guys separate from the other populations?
Yeah, and I would we would do as good as we can in that with that concept in mind about keeping the women and the men separate, is because men and women, but I can only speak for men, is that men have a tendency to be distracted, and they can be a distraction. And I look at the word distraction, and I see losing traction. And so, yeah, it can be a real distraction if women are present. So that is part of the reason why we keep that separate.
The folks that do go through,
mm-hmm.
do they tend to have a, I know this sounds really goofy, but a family support network? I mean, talking about guys and gals, are there spouses of these folks that
yes.
have tried to help them, or who have been left behind and they're looking, or kids, or things, folks that would tend to be support, but they've kind of kept aside?
On purpose. Yeah, I think that many of the men in the program have burnt the bridges between parents and families and children, and that's, you know, the difficult time of year is Christmas time. Many of the guys that I have in the program right now do have children. Redwood Christian School comes in every Christmas, and they have a children's choir, and probably 20 or 30 young people come in, and they sing for the men in the program, and the women come over at that time. And every time afterward, they sing about 3 songs, and then they leave a few gifts under the tree that we have, and then they leave, and then I come back into the chapel area, and I've got men crying.
Meltdown.
Yeah. Meltdown because of, you know, they reflect on their past and wishing that they had done things differently, and it's a time of counsel and as a group, and some guys want to come and speak privately, you know, and sometimes that's a breaking point. Maybe they've been struggling in the program and trying to get it, and that might be the breaking point, which I've seen, is that it just really tenderizes that hard area in their heart and reveals things that they need to deal with.
Most of the guests that you have,
mm-hmm.
how long will they stay?
We do have a 60-day policy, guests coming in off the street.
Unless they're in your program.
Correct. That 60 days in the winter time, we let up on that a little bit because of the extreme weather, and so we kind of extend the stay depending on the situation. But in the summertime like this, we are pretty hard and fast on our 60-day policy.
So what are you looking for somebody during those 60 days?
I'm looking for somebody that's going to be motivated, that doesn't want to come into the program. They just want to utilize our emergency services for whatever happened in their life, for them to come through our doors. We're looking to help people get back on their feet, and part of that is finding a job, getting their IDs, and we assist in all of that stuff. If they have some medical issues, we get them signed up for Medi-Cal and get services for them. We do have a requirement that if they are able to work, that they are to go out and look for a job, and we do have accountability papers that we have them sign. Betty Chin has the day area, or not the day area, but the day center, and so we work closely and send people over there, and we communicate back and forth, and we've seen tremendous progress with them being able to go and utilize her computer stations for job searches, and just in this last week, we've had 3 people find jobs of our guests, and then we can extend that 60-day stay for them to get on their feet, go to work, we'll work around their schedule, their work schedule. If they work at night, they can come in late. So we're not looking to kick people out. We're just looking to help people get up on their feet and motivate them to be productive in society, you know, and for their own selves.
What's the biggest misnomer or fallacy about the rescue mission?
I think the biggest one is that it's a flop house for drug addicts and winos and bums. That's, you know, pretty much what I've heard. And as you drive through Eureka, we have a huge drug problem in our community, and there are many people who that we'll see coming through Broadway, and you see people that are struggling in life. You know, they're living, breathing human beings that just happen to be succumbing to maybe addictions or whatever it is. But a lot of times people relate that scene with the rescue mission. And when they hear the rescue mission, they think of the people that are trashing and leaving trash and various things like that. And so that's not what we're about.
The folks that we see on the corners,
mm-hmm.
That's a different population than those that you're working
with. That's correct. They don't come to the mission.
Do we see the folks that you work with, the guests, either in the program or the 60-dayers, do we see them?
You do see them. When our men on the program are out in the community, we do a lot of community cleanup. We work in Old Town cleaning the streets and sweeping and pulling weeds at the foot of Commercial and right on the corner of Commercial and Second where the railroad engines are. We went in there and cleaned that whole area up and removed lots and lots of trash from previous campers, actually hauled away three great big trailerfuls to the dump. So you'll see our guys out. They usually wear an orange shirt that says God Squad. We've joined hand in hand with Eureka Main Street. We go out in, like I say, in Old Town. We do underneath the waterfront down the Samoa Bridge. It looked like the SWAT team through the sheriff. They beat us to it, but that's okay. I don't mind somebody beating us to it. There's a lot of work. But we took the other end on the Adorney side and have been clearing weeds and doing stuff like that. Now, our guests, believe it or not, you won't recognize a lot of the guests that come into the shelter because what we have shower days, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 1 to 3. And each night, the people that come into the shelter are required to shower. And the clothing that we actually get into our clothing room at the shelter for people to come and exchange is good quality clothing that we get from our thrift store. So we don't get pants with holes in them. This is good, decent clothing. So when people that are guests that at the mission, if they come in looking homeless, we attempt to kind of remove that by putting them in a nice clothing. It gives them that, you know, that, I don't know, self-worth, you know, to walk out the door and have some nice jeans and shoes and shirts on.
Well, it avoids...
It does.
Typecasting or stereotype.
It does, yeah. I feel so sorry for people that are bashed. You know, I just got a heart for all the people that are on the street, you know, whether they use our services or not. And it's a tough world we live in. And when you fall up underneath the circumstances in life, it's really hard to get out unless you got somebody out there to reach a hand out and help you out.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Brian Hall.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. We're talking shop this afternoon with the Executive Director of the Eureka Rescue Mission, Brian Hall. Brian, if somebody wants to get involved, know a little bit more, you know, I think there may have been a temptation to think that you guys and your operation would be competition with Betty.
Oh.
And what she's doing, instead of working in concert together and some of the other different entities that are in the area. If there is that desire, or even something just as simple, you mentioned the clothes. Okay, so if you've got some extra clothes, how do you connect with or help to assist the joint effort that you and Betty and others are doing?
I think we complement each other. I don't see any duplication of services out there. We are emergency housing. We can house up to 65 people in one night. And in the day area like Betty has, or the food for people, or there's lots of organizations around there, and we just complement each other, and we are connected in such a way that we can't do it alone, and we need these other services in town to help the people that we help. So we refer people constantly to Betty and Food for People and Department of Health and Human Services to get their a discount so they can get their identification. And it's just we work very close together with the community.
So if folks do want to assist, help
yes,
do whatever.
Yes.
Traditionally, we'd say through church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have the religious affiliations with any of the local churches? Do you have a drop-off point if somebody wants to do something like that? I mean, how does somebody get involved if they want to help the cause?
With the rescue mission?
Yeah.
You can dial 445-3787. Or you can go to our website, is eurekarescuemission.org. We have a thrift store on Broadway, 1031 Broadway.
Is that the old T-Bones?
That's the old Larry's Market.
Okay. Yeah. How'd that happen? How'd you guys get that location?
Oh, gosh, it's been since before I've been there, yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's just they bought it and, buying it.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah. We take furniture, clothing, right there in the alley, right between the gas station and the store.
Do you hope you're out of business in 10 years?
You know, that would be the ideal goal, is to not have any more homeless, suffering people on the streets of Eureka. I don't see that happening. I always see a need. There's always going to be a need. But it would be nice to see less people suffering on the streets.
The guys that you see, do they tend to be folks new to the area or locals?
Quite a few locals, actually. There are people that come from out of the area that are cruising through. Many times they come up here with the hopes of making a lot of money here in Humboldt County, and have, you know, been kicked out and dropped off and thrown down without any money and no money to go home. And
but there are locals.
There are locals. Yes. Yeah.
That would that. That element always makes it kind of sobering, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I'm a local.
Well, I know. I like the pun. That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Happy Memorial
Thank
Day.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.